Far below, the water swirled, foamed white against the cement piling, surged away. The arch of his foot. That's where David felt the pressure of the concrete edge. If he fell or jumped and couldn't finally swim to safety, they would find these things. A watch with his father's name inscribed on the back. His wallet with $200 in cash. His driver's license. A pebble from the stream near his childhood home that he had carried with him for 30 years. And the photos in the envelope tucked into the pocket above his heart. His funeral would be crowded. The cortege would stretch for blocks. But it would stop there, the news. Caroline might never know. Nor would word travel any farther back to where he'd been born. Even if it did, no one there would recognize his name. The letter had been waiting for him tucked behind the empty coffee can of the corner store one day after school. No one said anything, but everyone watched him, knowing what it was. The University of Pittsburgh logo was clear. He'd carried the envelope upstairs and placed it on the table by his bed, too nervous to open it. He remembered the gray sky of that afternoon, flat and blank beyond the window, broken by the leafless branch of an elm. For 2 hours he had not allowed himself to look. And then he did. And the news was good. He had been accepted with a full scholarship. He sat on the edge of the bed, too stunned, too wary of good news, as he would always be all his life, to allow himself real joy. "It is my pleasure to inform you." But then he noticed the error, the dull truth rising up and fitting just where he'd expected it, in that hollow place just below his ribs. The name on the letter was not his. The address was right, and every other detail from his date of birth to his social security number, all these were correct. And his first two names, David for his father and Henry for his grandfather, those were fine as well, typed precisely by a secretary who had perhaps been interrupted by a phone call, by a visitor. Or maybe it was only the lovely spring air that made her look up from her work, dreaming herself into the evening, her fiancé there with flowers in his hands and her own heart trembling like a leaf. Then her door slammed, footsteps sounded, her boss. She started, drew herself together and back into the present. Blinking, she hit the return carriage and went back to work. David Henry, she had typed already, correctly. But his last name, McAllister, had been lost. He had never told anyone. He had gone off to college and registered, and no one ever knew. It was, after all, his true name. Still, David Henry was a different person from David Henry McAllister. That much he knew. And it seemed clear it was as David Henry he was meant to go to college. A person with no history, unburdened by the past. A man with a chance to make himself anew. And he had done just that. The name had allowed it. To some extent, the name had demanded it, strong and a bit patrician. There had been Patrick Henry, after all, a statesman and an orator.